Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say and yarn up strong. All right, big shout out. Rural Australia receives $820,000 funding boost, and different organisations out there are putting in applications to get funding. And we're going to talk to a successful applicant, and that's Mark Pegum. He's with the Yandama, and he's that organisation. He's a musician and producer that received $10,000. And we've got Mark on the line. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, mate. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, great to hear from you. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who you mob. Where you from?
Well, I'm originally from the UK, so I'm non-Indigenous, but I'm Indigenous to Wales.
Okay, well, we claim you, brother. We claim you.
I'm a Celt, way back. I'm a Celt.
Yeah.
But I spend most of my time in the Northern Territory these days.
Fantastic. Musician and producer. So tell us, in the $10,000 you received there for this deadly organisation, what work you be doing? Give us the vision, the picture there, please, brother.
Yeah, well, what we've done is we've produced an amazing project with two Walpiri elders called Crown and Country, and it's basically an album which features Wanta Jumpa Jumpa Pawo Kupulunu. He's basically doing this deep Walpiri knowledge voiceover through the whole album, and his father, Jerry Jungala, who's in his early 90s, is singing all the Walpiri cultural songlines over that as well. And I'm the musician. He's putting it all together.
Fantastic.
So this project really, sorry, the funding is to fund this particular project.
And, yes.
And take it into the digital realm. So at the moment it's an album that's sounding magnificent, and it's coming out on a whole range of different, I think ABC Music are bringing it out. But this particular one now is going to enable us to turn it into a digital project.
Yeah, so beautiful.
It'll enable us to kind of put it on the web, and enable us to put all that archival material that we often get when we're recording these elders onto that web-based digital website.
Look, fantastic. I see a five-pronged spear here, partner punt, Mark, but we're talking about an elder at the table. We're talking about stories being told. We're talking about putting music to it. We're talking about a non-Indigenous man from England working with our traditional owners. It's a fit in more ways than one. Money's the tool. Here it is, $10,000, to create this opportunity. And it keeps our culture alive, as I say, as a First Nation man. It just keeps our culture alive, and it's a beautiful fit, brother.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks. Look, you know, it's really important for me. I mean, I know I'm a white fella from Wales and all of that, but I've spent, 25 years in the desert, working on Indigenous communities all across WA, NT, Queensland.
Well, it sounds like you've been adopted, brother, to the mob.
I'm a lucky man, I'm a lucky man. I have very extended family, let's just say that.
Sure.
But, I've worked with Wanta and his father for 15 years.
Yeah.
So, these projects often just naturally kind of, come out of a lot of trust that gets built up over the, over those years. So it's really something quite special, and it's really enabled us to go really deep with a lot of, philosophy and knowledge that often, these guys talk between themselves. So, the unique nature of this is that Wanta is just such a visionary.
Yeah.
He's a real community leader. He's a ceremonial leader. He's a real progressive thinker.
And what's Uncle's name, Mark?
What's that?
What's Uncle's name?
Uncle's name is Wanta. Wanta Jumpa Jimpa.
Yeah, Wanta.
Powell Kupulunu. That's his full name. So
beautiful.
Wanta.
Yeah.
W-A-N-T-A. It's actually short for Wantari Tari, which is the Milky Way.
Yeah, beautiful.
In Walpiri, the Walpiri word for Milky Way, so Wanta.
Yeah.
And his father's name is Jerry Jungala, and Jungala is his skin name.
Beautiful.
So, and his father was the first contact man from the Barkly region, northern Walpiri lands. walked in when he was 12 years old. So very interesting
story.
You know, very interesting people. You know, very unique and
exactly.
The depth of knowledge. You know, it, like I always say to my friends, it's like you get one book of the encyclopedia and you get the first page, and then that's where you first meet them like that. And then after 15 years, you realise there's a gigantic
walk a mile in their moccasins, in their feather foot.
You know what I mean? The more you look, the more you find.
Brother, and you know, I'm talking about uncle there, you know what I mean? And look, an elder in more ways than one. And what you would, you know, you would feel, if not see, my brother, in your deep listening, so to speak, his ancestors are talking to your ancestors. That brings this all together, and the story that needs to be told to keep your culture alive, and using music as the vehicle. I mean, I got goosebumps here, Mike. It sounds fantastic.
Look, it is, and like you say, like there's a lot of things that just that are probably beyond us as individuals that are kind of speaking through this kind of project, which is why, like, so much more kind of every time we talk, more and more stuff comes up, which is why this grant enables, you know, enabling us to put it online and have this digital archive, so to speak, really brings that, can not only assist in bringing that knowledge to assist Walpi culture with, you know, Walpi schools and Walpi youth projects and whatever, but it can actually showcase it to the rest of Australia.
Exactly.
And he's really keen to showcase and share this knowledge so that there's a deeper understanding with the wider, you know, continent, whether you're Indigenous or not. You know,
sure.
He's really keen on just, you know, allowing people that a moment to kind of pick up on, you know, things that often we experience because we're in the community, but often people don't get to experience that.
No, that's right. Well, the when you talk about the mob there and uncle and what have you, their spirits are talking to your spirits and spirits of your ancestors as well, brother. You are where you're meant to be. And here we are, you know, driving the music forward, the culture, the story forward, and it'll be out there forever. And you are dealing with 60,000 years of history there, my brother.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, these people are often kind of, you know, they're unique, and so, you know, why not, you know, when they kind of call on you to help, you know, share and document their stories, you know, I just feel blessed that
that's the word, brother. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
You know what I mean? And so I'm just like I'm just a vehicle, you know.
Sure.
Just helping this kind of stuff, but at the same time. You know,
but I feel your passion. I feel you're so genuine is what I'm picking up, my brother, you know. And even if you weren't, then you'd be told, you know what I mean? And this wouldn't come to fruition.
Soon,
exactly. Uncle will talk. Uncle will talk, and you better listen.
Absolutely.
Mark, good yarning with you. Thank you very much for sharing.
Meet these guys.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing. I would love to have them on the phone, but, you know.
Sure, yes.
Dialysis at the moment, unfortunately, with some health reasons.
Yes.
And Jungle is, you know, he's in his 90s, so he's, you know, he's hard to contact. He, you know, mobile phones are relatively new in his realm.
Well, yeah, so, when you get in contact with him, you need to take a page out of his book. We all want to live to age 90.
Oh, yeah. He's got some magic going on there.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, must be what he's eating.
I think so.
Maybe could be in the goanna that he's still eating.
I think so, brother. Mark, nice talking with you, and all the best to you. And big shout out to the traditional owners, uncle there and his son. Fantastic. And congratulations with the success in regarding the application for funding, $10,000. Money's a tool, and you're using a tool wisely. And all the best to you, my brother.
Thank you very much. So people can check out Crown and Country, hopefully in August. It'll be out on Spotify. That's the actual album's name. So Crown and Country by Wanta Jumpa Jimpa.
Okay, Crown and Country. Brother Mark, you take care and all the best, eh?
All right, take care, bro.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly Yarn. Mark Pickham, his name is, and he's working closely with the Yandama mob there, and a musician producer, and they received $10,000 thanks to Rural Australia that has received $820,000 funding boost. So supporting people out there, putting in applications. FRRR, we call them, Foundation for Rural Regional Renewal. And look, money's a tool, and it just gets the opportunity out there for artists or for stories to be told and keeping our culture alive. And we are in the 21st century, but look, always was, always will be, and we're not going nowhere. So there is Two Delhi. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie here at BBM, Bummer Bip Media, 98.7 FM, here in Cairns, your dingy country. And a big shout out to NERS, National Radio Service. We go across the country with this daily program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Jan Upstrong, Two Delhi, National Talk Black.
I'm not afraid to die.
Yeah, it's yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindinji Country. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to the NERS, National News Radio Service. Our Australian experts and families urge rural parents to screen newborns for deadly solid killer. A major update to the newborn blood spot screening, that's NBS program, one that could be life-changing for rural and regional families. This expansion allows for the early detection of devastating diseases, ensuring babies receive life-saving treatment from birth. For families in remote areas where accessing specialist care can be challenging, early diagnosis could mean the difference between life and death. Look, we're down to catch up a yarn now with Dr. Erin Evans, Industry Genomics Networks Alliance, Ingenia CEO, and we have Dr. Erin on the line. Dr. Erin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thanks.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Doctor?
I'm based in Brisbane.
In Brisbane, all right. Big shout out. Thank you very much. So here we are talking about, urging families, urge rural parents to screen newborns for deadly solid killer. So we're talking NBS, newborn blood spot screening. Just give us a bit of update regarding what the disease is and what do we need to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So would you like me to just give a bit of an outline about what sickle cell disease is there, Trevor?
Please, go ahead. Yes, thank you.
So sickle cell disease is an inherited blood disorder, and it affects our hemoglobin, which is the protein in our red blood cells that helps us to carry oxygen in the body. So because of that, that causes... a very debilitating kind of disease.
It's inherited, is it, Doctor?
It is an inherited disease, yes. Yeah, so it's we can either be a carrier or that we can have the disease ourselves,
okay.
Depending on how that is in our genes. That
sickle
make
cell
up,
disease, has it just... risen its head to us mob, or has this been around, or
it's been around for a long time. It's particularly prevalent in places in Africa,
okay.
The Mediterranean, and the Middle East, and some Indian ancestry as well. And it's actually believed to. There's some ideas that it has persisted, that it's a modification in our genes that helps to protect from severe malaria infection. So it has some good sides, you could say, to some extent. There's some reasons why we could imagine that our bodies have adapted this way. However, also some, really... severe disease downsides as well.
And has it been detected in Australia more recently, or has it been detected in Australia?
There are people in Australia that have this disease. So there are a number of people, and I work for an industry association. And we work with patient advocacy groups, and there is a sickle cell patient advocacy group.
So we're working closely with the mums when they're pregnant, and we'll search for sickle cell disease.
That's right. So some of the ways that we can see whether there may be potential. Inherited diseases. They could be genetic diseases or metabolic conditions, things that help us with metabolize things. And there's a scheme that's in Australia. It's a very successful scheme called the Newborn Blood Spot Screening Program.
Okay, yep.
It's a public health program.
Mm.
It has very wide uptake. 99% of Australian newborns are screened in that program. It's voluntary,
okay.
But it is very highly encouraged.
Do people rural or remote areas, does that happen, NBS?
It should.
Thank
it
you.
Very
sure.
much
yes.
should. It should
yes.
be a universal program
Thank
in
you.
Australia. And that's a strong sense from I was interestingly just down in Canberra over the weekend talking about the newborn screening program and just the importance that that should be universally
exactly.
available for all Australians. So 99% of Australian newborns are currently screened, and it is voluntary for the parents, but it's very strongly encouraged, and there's very good reasons for that.
Sure. Can you detect it without the screening when we're talking sickle cell disease?
It's much better to do it at the screening.
Sure.
We could, but we would probably want to, we may be able to see certain kinds of symptoms that may develop later, or we could do a genetic test. However, to be able to diagnose quickly and clearly and for the parents to have both peace of mind as well as to, you know, proactively manage things, it is a lot more effective that diseases like sickle cell would be picked up at birth.
And I mentioned in the intro that early diagnosis could mean the difference between life and death. If they do survive and having a sickle cell disease, what are the symptoms thereafter?
Yes. So there's quite a lot of things to do. It's kind of it becomes like a form of anemia because the blood cells in our body can't carry around the same amount of oxygen as somebody who doesn't have the disease.
Okay.
And so we get quite a lot of it can be a very severe condition. There can be a lot of pain if blood cells are blocked. It can, you know, create anemia, and with anemia we get a lot of fatigue and weakness. We can also have a higher risk of getting certain kinds of infections or like a spleen dysfunction. We can also get a higher risk of things like stroke in children, and there's organ damage. There can be lung complications. So, you know, there's quite a range of things because it is affecting the blood, and of course the blood goes right through the body. So these can be really significant and really impact the child's health and well-being.
Thank you. And when you say inherited, if they were to have a sickle cell, the infant as such, do they then hold that strain within them for the rest of their life, and then they could, when they give birth, if they're a young girl or even a young boy, passing it on to their newborn, is that the case when you're talking about inheritance?
Yes, that's correct. So with an inherited condition like sickle cell disease,
yes.
They can, if they get two copies of the mutated gene, so one from each parent, then they will have the disease.
Yes.
If they only get one copy of the gene coming from one parent, then they will be a carrier. So they will carry the disease. They usually won't have severe symptoms, but I believe that they may have some, as well as then be passing it on to their children as well.
So for all our women out there, then diagnosed, but being pregnant as such, early stages, can you do testing from the get-go? Is that the case, Dr. Erin?
That's a quite good question. I believe that you could get genetic testing for that. It certainly can get picked up in our genes, and then we can also looking at that newborn screening program as well. So early on, but I believe that there is some sickle cell in the pre-birth screening as well.
Sure. So, of course, there's communication with all our medical workers as such. When we talk about doctors and nurses and midwives and what have you, the word is out and regarding the sickle cell disease, yes?
That's right. And I think, an evolving population in Australia of having more people from high-risk populations, given that, it's evolved in places where it's likely there's, higher prevalence of malaria. So with our populations changing in Australia, so does, the kinds of diseases that may be out there, and I think it's then really important that our health professionals think about these kinds of diseases where maybe several decades ago they weren't something that was seen as much in Australia, whereas now that it is important to think about more varied global diseases.
Well, the fact that we do this program goes across the country nationally, and of course government is listening as well. Thank you for the update regarding sickle cell disease, Dr. Erin.
You're welcome.
Best to your team. Please keep in touch, and we will yarn soon, my dear.
Thank you so much. Wonderful to speak to you today, and thanks for your interest in this important area.
Lovely.
Keeping us all healthy.
Dr. Erin, thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
A deadly yarn there, Dr. Erin Evans, Industry Genomics Network Alliance, engineer, CEO, and we're talking about the disease, sickle cell disease. A monumental breakthrough in newborn health has arrived. New official included in Australia's newborn blood spot screening, that is, NBS program, and this pivotal brings hope to countless families, ensuring that babies at risk of this life-threatening inherited blood disorder and identified early, paving the way for immediate care and brighter future. So, beautiful sisters out there, pregnant, make sure we look after our babies and communicate well with the medical staff in regard to sickle cell disease. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? 1-800-422-416.
Modern boy got it.
Oh, Hey you mob, did you know Child's World Early Learning Centre's free kindergarten approved program has been nurturing growth and learning for over 30 years with early childhood education for children aged from 6 weeks to kindergarten? To find out more, get in contact at 4045 4045. Station sponsor.
Are you ready to vote? The federal election is on soon. If you've recently turned 18 or have never enrolled before, you have to enrol to vote before 8 p.m. Monday the 7th of April. If you've changed your name or address since the last time you voted, you have to change your details. To enrol, you'll need proof of ID, that is a driver's license, passport, Medicare card, or someone who was already on the electoral roll who can confirm who you are. Enrol or change your details on the internet at aec.gov.au or pick up an enrolment form at any Australian Electoral Commission office and return it to the AEC before 8 p.m. Monday the 7th of April. Your vote will help shape Australia. Authorised by the Electoral Commissioner, Canberra.
Station sponsor.
You're listening to National Talk Black.
I grew up in the city. It is my home and the place I'll be living in. Although when I recall my father's homeland, beautiful Lenin Abla Revoy Island, it is surrounded by the deep blue sea, beautiful corals on the eastern barrier reef. One day I'll be standing on that beach, yeah, feeling the breeze and singing along to this melody. Eka waki saki waki saki waki la. Eka wili kapa wili kapa luwela. Poita tuwe luwe luke tupe tupila opanga.
CC. Stop the down south. Strong culture and identity from our forefathers who passed. Telling all our stories from our singing and our dancing. And if you know sabe, you can make a cultural practice. Eventually the time will evolve and we will shine when we walk in. You me can start one big family. Eka waki saki waki saki waki la. Eka wili tapa wili tapa ruela. Boi petu elu elu petu petu pila. Pangali pua patapala. No matter if you're black and no matter if you're white. Left, right, left, right. No matter if you're black and no matter if you're white. Left, right, right. No matter if you're black and no matter if you're white.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, as BBM Bummerbib Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service, Yarn Up Strong, National Talk Black. All right, to Daily Mob, spears taken from Botany Bay in 1770, returning home. That's the yarn we got today. I'm going to talk with Deadly Sister Nolene Timberry, Chairperson of the La Perouse Aboriginal Land Council, on the line. Nolene, good morning, Sister. How are you?
Good morning. I'm really well, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, Sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
So my mob's Bidjigal, and we have really strong connections to La Perouse in the southern part of Sydney. Our mob kind of goes from sort of Sydney Harbour, right down the south coast, sort of Illawarra, Shoalhaven areas. So we're saltwater. We're right along that coastline there.
Beautiful, beautiful footprint. Thank you very much, and big shout out to you, mob. Look, this is fantastic, and we're talking about spears taken from Botany Bay has returned home. And when you're looking, that's keeping our culture alive. And this is the 21st century. Here we are in 2025, going back 1770. Spears are returning. Our ancestors are speaking, are they not, Nolene?
They sure are. These spears are, you know, the value to us culturally is immeasurable.
Yes.
They connect us to that mob back there that never knew whitefellas, you know?
Mm.
And they connect us really tangibly in that sense of connecting culture throughout the ages.
So tell us about how this all comes about, and then tell us the engagement in regarding La Perouse Aboriginal Land Council, please, Sister.
Look, I guess as a community, we've been working on this for a long time now.
Mm.
It was back in the 1980s and 90s that our old women at the time really started looking at objects and ancestral remains that were held in museums and stuff, a lot of that overseas.
Yes.
So they focused at that time on reclaiming and getting back those remains. They would be important for us. That's the important part of our history.
Mm.
But there was awareness back then around these spears. So the spears themselves taken and recorded as taken by Cook himself in 1770. And I guess now in the 21st century, the world's a little bit of a smaller place. So
exactly.
It's easier to connect with those museums and stuff, those followers overseas, that, you know, we can start having real conversations about what that means to us in a cultural sense. And how we get that back, and how we can re-engage in the conversation around living culture.
Exactly. And when you look at going back then, 1770, going back to our culture, to a non-Indigenous person back in the day, is just a stick or just a spear, what have you, but the ownership or the meaning behind that spear. And then you look at colonization, and then here we are in 2025, and if not non-Indigenous people or Chinese or Japanese or whatever create, here we are, the internet. It's given us a tool, a vehicle to find our culture and get it returned through, you know, through this means. So it's a great thing, sister.
It is a great thing. You know, these, I don't know what people know about them, but, you know, in 1770, when Cook and the crew of the Endeavour first encountered black fellows on the shores there, they were opposed by two warriors, but warriors carrying fishing spears, you know.
Thank you, yeah.
And you know, after that first encounter, they ventured on shore and they took about 40 or 50 spears.
Yeah.
So they collected all of the spears that they found on the ground because they thought they might have been poisoned.
Sure.
They thought they were weapons. They thought they might have been poisoned. Yeah. So they kind of took everything. But what they didn't realise was these are fishing spears, you know, and they were taking away a food source.
Exactly.
So being able to reclaim the importance of fishing and the importance these spears hold as life-sustaining, that's been really important to us because These spears are the only... There are only four of them left, right? They took 40 or 50.
Yep.
There's only four of them left. And they're the only objects from that moment in time of first contact.
Yeah.
So they're really important to us as, you know, the descendants.
Yes.
But they're also important to Australia as a nation.
Exactly.
In really telling that story in a really truthful way.
And it should be embraced by all Australians if you look at it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's
for sure.
That's what we want. And that's
exactly
what we wanted to get from them coming home, is let's tell our story, let's tell the history, and let's be really truthful about it.
My sister, tell us about the celebration or the event. What happened when the spears returned? And I'm talking goosebumps here on my goosebumps.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's very spiritual, very connected for our mob. Tell us the emotions and what went down in regarding the celebrations.
You know what? It was there was a flood of emotions, I guess, going back to when they first made the announcement that they agreed to repatriate. So that was in I think March 2023, and then in April 2024, we finally worked through all the logistics to go over there and get them. So being part of a really small delegation that was able to travel to the UK and then participate in those conversations and just being part of a really wonderfully historic moment, which was in fact, I guess, a couple of different histories coming together to acknowledge the truth and then to make things right. So
exactly.
I think for all of us that were on that and for our community back home, that, you know, we had in our heads and we had behind us the whole way, it was really important for us to mark that moment in a really celebratory way.
Yeah.
So it was, what can I say about travelling to the UK and reclaiming our heritage?
Yep, exactly.
I mean, that in itself is just a monumental achievement. It's wonderful to see, I guess, the relationships that we've built up along the way and being able to have some really open conversations about what that should look like.
Yes.
And also, it was a wonderful moment in time to be able to share that with so many people.
And when you look at it, they travelled from UK, Captain Cook and his cronies, so to speak.
That's right.
And came here to the Big Island and took away our spears.
Yep,
and now you fly over to bring them back, 2025.
And we flew over there and we brought them back. And it was, you know, it was really wonderful. They came back and they had some time to settle. And then we had a community gathering around them. So we got community to come in and we had some time with them. And we were able to, I guess, celebrate and commemorate that return.
Yes.
In a kind of a nice closed community sense, which was, I guess, just us coming to grips with our own reality and our own history.
And with our ancestors overlooking you.
Yeah,
when
that's
you're
right.
Looking at the spears.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. And just, yeah, that connection throughout the ages, like I said, is just amazing.
Yeah. And where do the spears sit now, my sister?
So the spears are in the museum attached to Sydney University.
Okay.
That's the Chow Tak Wing Museum. When they first come back, the museum there, who cared for the spears before, so the spears have been out before.
Yes.
And so they've been caring for them since they landed back in Australia in, it was May last year.
Yes.
They've been there 11 months.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to go on display now for 3 months. The exhibition opens this Saturday, 5th
mm-hmm.
of April.
Yep.
And it'll be on until, I think, the end of June.
Beautiful.
And then they'll go back for a rest period. And at the moment, we're working with National Parks to build a new visitor centre at Kurnell, which is exactly where the spears came from.
Oh, wow.
So they'll be returning back to where they were taken from, which is
powerful.
You know, all we can hope for.
And like I said, our ancestors are still working with us from the other side, aren't
That's
they?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'll be celebrating
exactly.
when they come home too.
Nolan, good yarning with you, my sister. Thank you very much for sharing. All the best to La Perouse Aboriginal Land Council, all your mob there, and the tribal mob regarding having their spears returned. Thank you, Nolan. Beautiful story. And look, stay strong, my sister, and we'll yarn soon, eh?
Yeah, thanks, Trevor. Great to have you on.
Too deadly. Take care, sis. Bye-bye.
Take care. You too.
Deadly yarn there. Nolan Timberry, her name is, chairperson of the La Perouse Aboriginal Land Council. And we're talking about spears taken from Botany Bay in 1770, returned home. So the Mungari fishing songline, Darul Cultural celebrates the long-awaited homecoming of four of the most significant fishing spears in Australian history. Look, fantastic. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. We are here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM, Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, a one-hour program. And a big shout-out to the NERS team and also the BBM team. But have your say, yarn up strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Too deadly.